said, before we begin, I just want to update you. I have people that I'm close with who are in direct contact with the Israeli police. The security level right now has not been lowered, which means we're still on very high alert. It was in the news today that there was a stabbing in Shaar Yafo. There are three Avreichim that were attacked. Two of them are in the hospital. It was not in the news. They found someone with a machine gun who was trying to get into Mamila. They've heightened a lot of security in that area. But the situation has not changed as far as the severity of what's going on outside of this area. Therefore, I want to reiterate, and the levels of precaution that I tell you here are the same levels of precaution that I tell my family, my wife and kids, same things that I'm telling you, which is that under no circumstances should you be taking public transportation, trains or buses, unless it's an intercity bus. People should be avoiding public places such as restaurants that are in the center of town, old city, or anything like that. As much as possible, a person should try their hardest to stay in their confines. We have chores that we have to do, or times we have to get out. But saying davening Ashrei Yoshev Beisacha, which is, it's good to stay at home. Ashrei Yoshev Beisacha, it's the best thing if a person can do that. Avoid at all costs to go out. I will, B'li Neder, give instructions to try to in some way enhance the supper in yeshiva. And I know that it's quite delicious as it is, but you want to make it even more delicious. Nothing like ridiculous. I don't want it to be like indulgent or anything. But to try our hardest to be able to just stay here, to stay safe, and to stay in the yeshiva as much as we could. Mati was talking to me about what we were speaking about. It's a very fascinating Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says that Yishmael's name is Yishmael. Yishmael means Hashem will hear you. And he says it's called Yishmael because he, Yishmael, will cause Hashem to hear Klal Yisrael's tefillas. How is that? This is the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. He's going to put us through so much difficulty and so much pain that we will cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will hear that tefillah. Because a tefillah that comes from a broken heart is a much more powerful tefillah. So Yishmael causes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should hear our tefillas. It says in that tzchus will be zeicha to the gula. That's what it says there. The tzchus of the tefillas that we make. And we're speaking about Mesiras Nefesh for tefillah, and I want to just reiterate that how important it is that we should try our hardest to daven, and that tzchus we should be zeicha to the gula shleima b'mheira v'meinu amen. Okay, I'm a little under the weather myself. I'm gonna do my best here. we started the sefer. We have a bunch of them. I want to just give a word of encouragement for people to take a sefer themselves and look at it inside. It's not the same when you're listening to me, read it to you and actually, have the words in front of you. There's people that have donated svarim to the yeshiva. Anyone who wants a sefer, he's welcome to have one for his own. He can keep it. He can write in it. He can do whatever he wants. I'm in a dilemma right now, Aryeh, because this is my old one, and this is my new one. Now, I promised Aryeh my old one, but the new one's missing stuff, which I'm going through it, and there's important words that are just not there. And, calls it the Mahadura Chadasha Umitukenes. Got to figure out what's going on over here, because there's certain things that important lines in the Sefer that just aren't there. If they accidentally left them out, or they found manuscripts with that they feel more accurate, I'm not sure. But just for today, at least, I am going to use this for the meantime. So I'm going to read from the old one in the meantime. You'll see there's a few words that will be different. And then there's like an entire sentence that he takes out. That's such a critical sentence. I want to figure out what's going on. I know the person that did this, actually saw him last night, but I didn't know that he made, there's those discrepancies, so I'm going to try to contact him soon. Anyway, as you mentioned, the Hakdam al Chovos Talmidim is really a classic. It's known as a classic work. Chinuch, every father and every Rebbe should do the Hakdama. We were speaking about what Shlomo HaMelech says, Chanoich Lenar Al Pi Dar Koi. Chanoich Lenar Al Pi Dar Koi. Gam Kiyazkim Al Yosir Mimenu. He said that Chinuch doesn't necessarily mean just giving someone instructions. It doesn't mean to habituate someone to a certain type of routine. It means Chinuch means bringing out someone's own individual Koiches. And then Gam Kiyazkim Al Yosir Mimenu. When it's Chinuch, so then he's not going to stray when he's older, because it's him. It's not something that's foreign, that's being kind of like put upon him. It's coming from inside of him. And how do you do that? So we said it has to be chanuch lenar al pi darkoi. Darko shel kol echad v'echad. Each one has to have his own way. Each one has his own. Chinuch means that you deal with every single student, every single child differently. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech is saying. He's saying that you have to know every person's koichas is not your own koichas as a teacher, but the koichas of the Talmud. You have to be able to draw out his koichas, that he could use his koichas. Okay. We're up to the words, loy esa umnus achinuch anekras pedagogia. Those words, the bottom of page Tess, in both the old and the new. Loy esa umnus achinuch anekras pedagogia. So what we're saying is, we're not coming here, says the Rebbe, just to tell you how to do pedagogia. Pedagogia is like a big, like fancy sounding word for education. Pedagogia is like how to teach. We're not coming to teach you pedagogue. It's not what we're coming to do, to teach you how to be a good teacher. You have a different word there, probably. To captivate, to control, to get a hold of the seichel of a Talmud, and different tools, how to get a hold of his mind. Because what we're talking about is not an intellectual pursuit. To make him, know more Torah, that he should become, he should become a wider breadth of knowledge. We're not just looking for his mind of the Talmud. We're not just looking for it to be something that's intellectual pursuit. Rakis kol ha-Talmud. The entire Talmud, his essence, his core, his neshama, his spirit, everything anu mechapsim, lekashram be'eloike Yisrael, to connect them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kedei sheyehe yudi chored l'dvar Hashem, he should be a yid, that he fears the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'chol ma'avav, Eilav Yisbarach Yu, and all of his desires, all of his yearnings are all towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not just enough that we're trying to get him to do the right thing. We're trying to get him that his essence, his core, should become one that he connects and identifies with being an Eved Hashem. Hine, ad kama sheyodea kol av v'chol malamed. As much as every father and every teacher knows, shebeneim v'talmidei maktan meshelefneim, the children in front of him, lo yisharu b'katnusam, will not remain little children. Toddlers don't stay toddlers forever. Rak yisgadlu v'yu la'anoshim gedoilim bashana, they're going to grow up Zehakatan, Gadol Yihyeh, he's going to become big. Ve'efshur gam gedolim b'torah v'avoida, and maybe they'll even be big people, big tzaddikim, big tamid chachamim v'kol makom. However, yeshno mashir tachlisam hirak mashir neged einehem ata. There are those that when they're being mechanech, they're 2-year-old, so all that they have in front of them is a 2-year-old. Kivin shirak norim negdom, it's because all they have in front of them is a nar. L'chein rak l'chanech oisam l'narim tovim atarasim. You just want to be a good 2-year-old. That's it. A good 4-year-old, a good 8-year-old, a good 10-year-old, that's it. All they're doing is they're trying to deal with their present situation. And all they're trying to do is deal with them on the level, the maturity level of where they are at this moment. And that's enough. Listen to this. He says, person that treats a 2-year-old just as like, you know, he's a nobody, he's a 2-year-old. He's choyte neged Hashem v'amay. Mikivon, sh'amalamid v'av tzrichem l'das, she'es b'nei Hashem v'gdoyle Yisrael aleim l'chanuch l'galois. They have a responsibility to develop, to nurture the future generation of g'doyle Yisrael. That's an arm asher lefneim, yeiro'u l'neshamis g'doylois. See these kids in front of them, big neshamis, asher oidam beiban, that they're still in their nurturing stage. Aleim lahatzmichon, you have to get them to grow, lafricham, and to flourish. What he means, I think, is as follows. I want to give you a mashal. I used to live in Mount Dafna 137. Had a neighbor over there. His name is Pavarsky. His name is, what's his first name? Forgot already. Rabbi Pavarsky. His father is Rabbi Pavarsky, the Rosh Yeshiva of Panovitz. His grandfather was Rabbi David Pavarsky, the older Rosh Yeshiva of Panovitz. His father-in-law was Rabbi Moshe Finkel, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir. And his brother-in-law is Rabbi Soloveitchik, the Rosh Yeshiva of Brisk. They do that. They like, you know. Anyway, I'm sitting in his house. And this Yerushalmi kid comes like tumbling down the stairs. Now, the stairs are made out of like granite or something, they're like hard as can be. And I think for sure this kid's like, you know, he's finished. You know, he just came tumbling down this whole flight of stairs. But Yerushalmi kids are, they're pretty tough. So the kid gets up and just like runs out. He says, you know who that is? I said, no. He said, his name is Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik. Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik is the name of the Brisker Rav. Was the Briskerov's name. His name is Yitzchok Zev Soloveitchik. Now, kid that, you know, goes into class and, you know, and there's, you know, there's Shulman and Schwartz and, you know, there's Davidowitz and there's Yitzchok Zev Soloveitchik. Do you really think that the Rebbe is not going to think for a moment, this kid is going to be the Rosh Yeshiva of Brisk one day? He is. He's going to be the Rosh Yeshiva of Brisk one day. You don't think the Rebbe is going to, like, be a little extra careful about this kid? Like, you realize what you're dealing with over here? You know, your person has to deal with, you know, like one of the a Rebbe. He has a Rebbe's son in his playgroup. You don't think that you're going to treat the Rebbe. He's going to be the Rebbe. He's going to be the Rebbe. You know what I mean? He's going to have tens of thousands of Hasidim, this kid. You're going to treat him with a little bit more care, a little bit more, you know, focus. It's not going to just be, okay, he's a kid, just leave him alone. He's not just a kid. This kid has got, he's got a huge future, this kid. You know he's got a big future. So if you treat a kid like that, you treat every kid like that, then that's what they become. We have to, it doesn't mean that you don't let them play at 2 years old. It doesn't mean at 2 years old you tell them, you know, okay, you have to be constantly Dovik and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Precious, and it doesn't mean that. But it means that you're treating this 2-year-old like a 2-year-old who's going to become a gadol. That's what it means. There's a very famous, not very famous, famous bart from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. It says, halachah brought down that a Jewish child is not allowed a nurse from a goyish nurse, a wet nurse. can't nurse from a Goyish nurse. Why? Because it says that Moshe Rabbeinu refused to have a nurse from a Mitzri, and Bas Parah to bring him eventually a Jewish mother. So it's brought nifsak and halacha. You can't have a Goyish nurse if you have if a mother for whatever reason can't nurse her baby. She can't have a Goyish nurse. Shachter Biak Kamenetsky, I don't understand. Chazal say the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't take a Goyish nurse is because his peh she'asad ladaber mashchina. It's a mouth that's going to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's Eino Bedin, it's not Roy, that he should be nursing from a Goyisha mother. But what does that have to do with you and me? What does it do with our kids? Rabbi Yaakov says that Chazal are coming to tell us, every single child, when he's born, you have to look at him as this is a child who has the capability of being a peh she'asid ladaber mashchina. This kid can be absolutely unbelievable. If a person looks at a child that way, it's a whole different gisha, it's a whole different approach. I learned in the Yeshiva of Passaic. We had a mashgiach named Mordechai Schwab. Mordechai Schwab was known as the Tzaddik of Muncie, lived in Muncie. He's a big Tzaddik, he's a brother of Shimon Schwab. According to the family, they say that it's possible that he saw Eliyahu HaNavi. He was by the Chofetz Chaim. And Mordechai Schwab tells a story that there was someone by the Chofetz Chaim, and he was waiting outside, and the Chofetz Chaim was talking for a long time with someone, and then he walked the person out of the city, out of Radin. So he came back in, he asked the Chofetz Chaim, like, who was that? Why did you walk him, you malav him out of the city? Chofetz Chaim said, you saw him? I could tell you who it was. That was Eliyahu HaNavi. I heard the story myself from Mordechai. So by the Shiva, they said that he made it as if it was someone else in the story. It was really him. He himself spent time by the Chofetz Chaim. He's talking about a Yid on a very high madriga. But in America back in the day, there was no jobs. There was practically no yeshivas. There were no jobs. Mordechai actually has a story that happened. He had a dream. He only used to tell the story on Purim. The only day he would ask him that he had a dream. His Rebbe came to him in a dream and he told him how to get a job, and he was downing one shul, told him to down another shul. He had a whole story. Mordechai Schwab was a kindergarten teacher for a number of years. That's what he did. And there was a person who many years later became a very Erlich HaBalabas, like unique in his yashrus, unique in his kviyasita matoyra and everything that he did. Someone once asked him, I said, why, like, where did you get these musagim from? How did you become such a special person? He said, I still remember Mordechai Schwab was my pre-1A, he was my kindergarten teacher. And I remember him telling us when we were kids, kindalach, we're going to go to sleep, so we have more koyach to tzudin in the Eibishter, we have more koyach to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything he said, and it had such an impact on me. My entire life, I was still hearing that. Now, I don't think when he was in kindergarten, it made an impression on him. You know what I mean? He didn't know the difference. And it's like, come on, the kid's in kindergarten, you know what I mean? Start talking to him about Hashem, and give me a break. It didn't. It probably didn't. But when he was older, he was able to draw on that, and he became someone special. That's what I think the Rebbe means. And we have to try our hardest, not only with our children, but with ourselves. We're still developing as people. The more that we believe in ourselves of what we're capable of, so the more that we take more seriously decisions that we're making. It's like a serious thing, because I'm a serious person. There's something important here. So that's what he's saying, that we have to know that We have an obligation to bring out the future leaders of Klal Yisrael, not just to be average. Gananim heim began Hashem. Rebbeim, teachers, they're gardeners in Hashem's garden. La'avda l'shamra, to work it and to protect it. V'afim yiru b'hem ne'orim asher l'fi ha'korosam morei nefeshem. Even if he sees, according to what it looks like, kids, they're mori nefesh. They have bitter neshamas. Umidos ro'is lahem. They have bad character. Yeidu shezeteva shel gar'ine aneshamos. You have to know something. A gardener that sees that he's there, and he sees what looks like bitter. It looks like a bad crop. He has to know something. Teva shel gar'ine aneshamos. The nature of the seeds that are called neshamos. Uboiser hamalochim. Boiser is the undeveloped angels. Morim heim bechanitasam. They are bitter when they're still first blooming. Umaleim asim begadlusam. And they're so full of juice when they get older. Ein mida v'teva ra. There is no such thing as a bad mida. There's no such thing as a bad nature. Behechlet leyeled miyisro. Behechlet means that there's nothing to do about it. Final. There's no such thing as a midara. No such thing. Kvar horeinu kadoshi Yisrael moron Baal Shem Tov. We've already been instructed by the Baal Shem Tov. V'talmid v'achrav zecha tzadikim levracha. Rach shetzichim ladas eich l'shamish behem u'legadlam. You have to know how to use them. You have to know how to develop them. There's no such thing as someone that doesn't have good midas. It's just a question of how to channel those midas. There was once a story. There was a Magid who was famous for being a very inspiring Magid. And one time he spoke and someone came up to him. And he said, I heard your speech. Why wasn't I inspired? So the Magid said back to him, I'll tell you, you know, there are these tools that a person uses when he has a fire in the fireplace. That you like you a bellow in order to like stoke the fire. But if there's no fire, so then there's not doesn't help. So you got no fire, buddy. So therefore my muscle didn't help. He was very distraught by that. He went to Rabbi Natan, the son of the Talmud of Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Natan said, Sinit Emes. It's not true. He says, "Medafis nevitzu das blozen." We have to know how to blow. In other words, you take a bellow. If you're not put, you're not using it right. It's not going to do anything. You have to know how to blow the bellow. So he obviously doesn't know how to do it. There's no such thing as someone that's not reachable. There's no such thing as someone that has bad midas. Someone that's just a rotten apple. It doesn't exist. L'mashal. Im yesh lefanav talmid b'midas akshanas shehi ra. You have in front of you a talmid that is very stubborn. Is midas akshanas, which is that's pretty bad. V'soyvel hamalamed mimeno harbe, and the malamed has a lot that he has to. He's suffering from this. Yisboinein. Let the malamed reflect. When this child, he grows up, he matures, and he accepts upon him the old Torah, how much his avodas Hashem will be ba'akshanus, will be so stubborn to do the right thing, mesiras nefesh, velo kal, velo hafhofech, yeah. He's not going to be a fair-weathered friend of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's not going to vacillate between doing the right thing and the wrong thing. Mekivan she'ish Yisrael kefi shakavu chachamin zochon avracha, being that an Ish Yisrael, who rak im mamid dvarim kechoyma, it's only a person that's like a wall. Everything about his Yiddishkeit is going to be strong because he's a stubborn person. We spoke this past week about Avram Avinu's insistence of bringing a mate for Yitzchak, Dafka, from Eretz Moladetoy, from where he came from. Now, Avram Avinu had very, very bad memories from Ur Kasdim. I mean, they threw him into a fiery furnace. They weren't so receptive to Avram Avinu's, you know, he's making a revolution here. They were not so happy about it. You know, where Avram is now, it says Avram Avinu is Makariv, like tons of people, Machnisim Taki Tachas Kanfi Yashchina. Everyone over here seems to be like much more accepting. Why is Avram Avinu interested? Dafka, bring someone from back or custom. And we said from the Lev Avraham, he said, because Avraham Avinu knew that in order to be able to be one of the Emois of Klal Yisrael, you need to be stubborn. You have to be able to stand up to a lot. So true, back in Rokazdan, they were not the nicest people, but they were strong. They had firm beliefs. What they believed in, it's a different story. But their beliefs were firm. If you could channel that in the right way, then it's good. Klal Yisrael is referred to as an Ksheyoyer, if we're stiff people. We don't deviate so quickly. We don't turn. We don't get pushed away. That's Klal Yisrael. That's who we are. It's just a question of channeling it. There was one of the leaders of the communist movement. Let's see if I can remember his name. I'm going to say Trotsky, Leon Trotsky. What's his name? He was a Jew. A lot of the communists were Jews. And if you look into it, a lot of the Israeli government was actually built on a lot of communist ideas. The kibbutz and the moshav are really communist ideals. But anyway, Trotsky was communist. Now, communists are very anti-religious. Religion, they say, is the opium of the masses, which means they were anti-religious. That's why there were all these refuseniks that wanted to... There was no such thing as religion in communist Russia. Trotsky had a grandson who became Shomer Torah Mitzvahs with Peyus, Tzitzis Arois, and everything. I heard this from Rabbi Beryl Wein. So he said that he was interviewed once by an Israeli reporter. He said to him, "What would your grandfather say if he saw you now?" You know, one of the heads of the communist movement, his grandson is, you know, Tzitzis and Peyus and all that. So he said, "I'm just doing what my grandfather did. My grandfather lived what he believed. I'm living what I believe." So it's true that it's a different thing. But there's Klal Yisrael are people that are strong in their beliefs. We have that's the way we are. So if you find someone who's stubborn, so then you could say, this kid is impossible. Or you could say, I just got to get to him, and if I do, you know how amazing he's going to be? All his friends are doing something that he knows he's not supposed to do. He's not going to budge. He's going to say, "I'm going to stand up for what I believe in." So if a person realizes that there's no such thing as bad midas, a yid doesn't have bad midas. We say before Pirkei Avos, "Va'amech kulam tzadikim neitzamatoi masi odei lehispar." Amech kulam tzadikim means Klal Yisrael, every single one of them is a tzaddik. What does that mean? There's a lot of people out there that are not acting like a tzaddik. It's true. But it's not because they don't have it in them. It's because they haven't managed to access it yet. Kol Yisrael Yeshlam Chelek L'Olam Haba. Why? Because every one of us has something very special inside. And we got to find it. We have to learn how to channel it. Maybe we're not doing that right now. But it's there. That's the challenge. Lachain, just finish one more paragraph here. Lachain, im yira malamid or av talmid b'midas akas. Let's say you see someone who gets angry very quickly. Hein emes shanar mishtamish ata minis kasoy ra admoy. You're true. This kid right now is flying off the handle. He's using the kas for very bad things. It's very bad. Aval ha'im b'shvil ze yochol nahachle rov lomer shoyresh peyrosh v'lanohu. You can you say this kid is a bad kid? Could you say that this kid is someone that we have to get rid of? No. Is there something wrong with him in his nature? Can't say that. Imloy nischak anu al shoite. Sheshomes tihilasa esrei. Would we not laugh? A fool. Someone tells him about how wonderful, praises esrei. V'chotaf lechol zera garen or boisa mimeno. And he grabs to eat it when it's still not ripe. V'yitzach v'yoylel of lemor, and he's going to howl, scream, howl, say, "Prim mar v'arsu, it's poison, it's terrible, it's bitter, it's horrible." Halukolon and ischakolov, we'll all laugh at him. V'noim elehamtein, kasher yisbashel ha'pri b'gomroi. You have to wait a little bit until it matures. Wait a little bit until it reaches its... the fruit, it brings out for us, tivakeach kamasakla, and you'll see how sweet the fruit really is. Sometimes people just aren't patient enough. Sometimes we're not patient enough with ourselves. We have to kind of wait until the good stuff comes. This is a story from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, and Rabbi Nachman says that there was two beggars. It's the story of two beggars. And they lived in the park. They were homeless. And they used to often trade stories about, you know, how to get a little bit of money, how to get a hot meal. One of them was Jewish, the other one was a guy. Comes Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and the Jewish fellow is all smiles. So his friend says to him, "What are you smiling? What are you so happy about?" He goes, "Oh, you don't know." He said, "We're like getting closer to Pesach. Pesach is amazing. You know why? Because on the night of Pesach, everyone has to invite guests. I'm for sure going to get a meal. And it's going to be a great meal. It's delicious. It's amazing." So the guy says, "Okay, I'm happy for you. Good for you." Anyway, so the, you know, as time's going on, and he's getting all hyped up about this Pesach meal. He knows he's going to get a big, hot, lavish meal. After a while, his friend says, "You know what? I'm sick and tired of hearing you talk about this meal. I mean, you're just making me jealous." He said, "Enough of that." He says, "I don't have to make you jealous. You could, you know, they got to invite everyone. They don't have to know if you're Jewish or not Jewish. So I'll teach you the ropes. You know what I mean? Come into the synagogue. You'll get a meal too." Friend said, "You sure?" He said, "I'm positive. I'll teach you. I'll show you just, you know, what to do. You know, you put a yarmulke on your head and everything." So shows him how to do it. You know, they go into shul together, these two guys. And sure enough, they're both, you know, people called dichvin, anyone that needs a meal. Everyone who wants comes, so fine. He gets a meal, and he's walking out, he winks at his friend, and, you know, they made up, they're going to meet back at the park bench, you know, all happy to tell over their story. So the Jew goes to his family, the guy's going to his family, and he's getting there, and he walks in, and it smells like delicious. He's like so excited, like he's going to get this great hot meal, and there's like so much to eat, and he's okay, so he's sitting down, you know, they make kiddush, and he's like, "Okay, we're ready to go." This is like, "No, not yet. Magid." And he's sitting there, and they're reading stuff. He got no idea what they're reading, and they're reading, and they're talking, and they're reading, and he's like bored out of his brain, and he's just like, you know, just looking at his watch, and he's like, "What? How much longer is this going to go on until they?" And until finally, he's like, "Okay, it's time to wash." And he's like, "Great, we're going to eat. Excellent." So then he's starving, and he sits down. And then they give him matzah and maror, and he's just had it. He's like, bitter herbs. He's like, his mouth is on fire. He just storms out of the house. And he's like back in the park, and he's fuming, just waiting for his friend to come. An hour, 2 hours. Finally, his friend shows up, and he's like, starts screaming at him. "You tell me there's such good food. All they gave me is, you know, is the crackers and maror. I mean," so his friend said to him, "You fool." He said, "You were right there. The very next thing they were going to bring out was all the food. And you missed it because you bailed out." And that's the way life is sometimes. Sometimes we have bitter moments. And it's like, this is, it just doesn't taste good. But right, it's right, like right before we get into the sweetness. So we can't be fools and say, "Yeah, I'm just not good. I just can't do it. I'm not cut out. I'm not good enough." The person has to realize that we have to allow ourselves the patience to be able to develop. Because we have a lot inside of us. Every one of us. There's a lot inside of us that we can give, that we can become, and all of us can become the future of Klal Yisrael, the great future leaders of Klal Yisrael. It's a shambling, and we'll continue next week. Okay.